I'm Jess Spenlove, a performance dietitian, coach, and speaker, and welcome to Stay at the Top, the podcast for ambitious high performers wanting to easily go from exhausted to energized with evidence-based hacks designed to deliver sustained success and enhanced longevity. I want you to harness the power of nutrition, sleep, mindset, and other high-performing behaviors to achieve your big goals now, while also considering future you as well. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the last episode of season one. Today, I am talking six high-performing habits that will lead to you living a more high-performance life. Now, what today's episode is not is unrealistic routines, rituals, running marathons before work, 4 a.m. ice baths, or anything like that. My mission is to change the narrative and start the conversation of not only what it takes to reach the top, but how to do it sustainably and to stay there. So what that means is customizing and finding habits, routines, and rituals that work for your life, that you enjoy, that support your goals, and most importantly, that you feel called to implement. Now, today is the last episode of season one of Stay at the Top. So I wanted to leave you with an episode that summarizes a lot of what we've spoken about in season one. And most importantly, it leaves you with some tips and strategies for you to implement and work on over the next 4 to 6 weeks while I take a break. Today's episode has something for everyone, whether you identify as a high achiever or whether you're someone who's looking to implement more high-performing habits into their life. Today's episode has something for everyone, whether you identify as a high achiever and you're really looking to dial things up, or whether you're someone who's just interested and wanting to implement more high-performing habits into their life. There's something in store for each of you here today. For those unaware, I've also recently released my brand new website, which was 10 months in the making. It was an absolutely mammoth project, and it was the last piece of my up-level rebrand journey. I would absolutely love for you to head over and check it out. So the first high-performing habit I want to talk about today is having a routine or a ritual to start the day. Now, notice I say routine or ritual. I don't say morning routine, because I feel like when people hear the term morning routine, what they immediately think is they need to have some 2 or 3 hour elaborate morning routine that includes meditation and movement and ice baths and saunas. And, you know, all of a sudden, like, the morning routine has become a full-time job, let alone factoring in work, life, children, or whatever your day-to-day looks like. So the reason I like to say routine or ritual to start the day is because it really leaves it up to the person to factor in what works for them. The other thing to consider is, as we've talked about previously with chronotypes, there's definitely our morning people, which are the people that generally are waking up 5, 6 a.m. and they do that with ease, but they go to bed early. Then we've got the majority of people, which are bears, which tend to wake up a little bit later, you know, 7, 7:30 in the morning. And then we've got our night owls or our wolves, which are the people that like to stay up late. They're productive in the afternoon or evening. They're slow out of bed in the morning. So having the idea of a morning routine doesn't really consider the individual, their circadian rhythm, their chronotype, which is why I've started using the term routine or ritual to start the day. Now, I'm a morning person, and it is really easy for me to get up in the morning and move. That's when I do like to train, and I like to fit that in. But I do tend to get out of bed in the morning with ease. I'm certainly not springing out of bed, but I am waking up early, and I'm able to fit that into my day. Now, at a minimum, what I would encourage people to do in the morning is to have a few ways that they can set their day up for success. And what that might look like is, one, making your bed, ticking that off, first task of the day, you've achieved something, you're nice and organized and you're ready to go. The second thing will be getting sunlight on your eyes within 30 to 60 minutes. There's so many benefits to this, in particular regulating your circadian rhythm, which also helps you sleep at night. The third thing I would encourage, which is more of what not to do, is to check your phone, which if you're sleeping with your phone in your bedroom next to you and using it as your alarm clock, that can be a really hard habit to break. One boundary I'm trying to set up is that I don't check my phone, which includes emails and social media, until after 9 a.m. Do I succeed at that every single day? No, but am I creating an environment and a habit that helps me do that on most days? Yes. The way I do that is I don't have my phone in the bedroom. If it's in the bedroom, I'm doom scrolling at night before I go to bed, and it's the first thing I'm doing in the morning. Whereas if you can wake up, you know, have the phone in the kitchen or have an alarm clock, make your bed, get some sunlight on your eyes, and then depending on how much time you've got, you know, maybe you look to do some meditation or some movement, maybe both. I'm certainly not saying to do all of those things, but if you can at least have a ritual in the morning that is supportive of how you want to set your day up, which is giving yourself space, achieving your first task of making your bed, supporting your circadian rhythm, which will help you sleep at night. And the other thing with getting sunlight on your eyes, it signals it's daytime. And then from a neurochemical point of view, that sets off a whole range of chemicals which we want to happen in the morning. So my first high-performing habit for you today is to have a routine or ritual that works for you to start your day, regardless of whether you're a morning person, a night owl, or anywhere in between. The second high-performing habit is to take regular breaks. Now, high performers understand that it's about sprinting and resting, not just constantly pushing. For today's episode, I'm talking about this in the context of each day, so these micro behaviors, but this can really extend out into days, weeks, months, years. So it's not about just flatlining and pushing. It's about periodizing your days, weeks, and months. Zooming in on today's conversation, though, I really want to just look at the day-to-day because I really believe the more we can optimize how we feel each and every day, the more we can change those micro habits. They build momentum over time, and that's when we really see giant leaps and bounds. Personally, what I found to work for me is working with what's called my ultradian rhythm. So this is where I work for 90 minutes, and then I have a 20-minute break. Now, the 20 minutes can look and feel different each day. The key to that is you're taking time away from stimulants, which include technology, caffeine, and sugar. So the theory here is you work for 90 minutes and then you take a 20-minute break. Now, the 20-minute break is what I've termed the brain break. This is where you step outside, preferably. You're spending time in nature. You are technology free and you're giving your brain a break. Now, this doesn't always have to be stepping outside in nature. That might not be possible for you. You might not want to do that. The weather might be terrible. So it helps to have a few options. Some other really helpful options there can be maybe you go and make yourself a nice herbal tea and you sit and you do some breathing. Maybe there's a meditation space at your office and you can go and listen to a meditation track. Maybe you're at home and you can lie down and listen to a meditation track. So that break can really look in a few different ways, but the most important thing is it is stimulant free. So technology, caffeine, sugar, which for most of us, putting my hand up here because I'm human, when we have that break, often that means, okay, we're taking a break, but let's check our phone. Let's check the socials. Let's go and get a coffee and let's have a snack. So the real key here, if you want to apply this strategy of a high-performing habit when we're taking a regular break and having an actual brain break, is to be stimulant-free. Now, there are a whole heap of other ways you can apply this strategy. There's working for 25 minutes, having a 5-minute break. There was even something when I was doing a bit of research before this episode, which is the 52-17 rule, which is you work for 52 minutes and you take a break for 17, very specific. The thing I would encourage you is to think about your work, your flow, what works for you, and test and trial them out. The other really important thing to note here is taking a break also means taking a break from having lunch at your desk. Now, I know it can be tempting. I'm just so busy. I've got to do all the things. And you end up having lunch at your desk. I'm sorry, team, but that is an absolute no-no when it comes to high-performing habits. It's really important for lunch that we dedicate the time to do that away from our desk. Now, I know that there are some people who use their lunch breaks to maybe go and work out. So a lot of my clients or even friends who work in the city that don't have the opportunity to get that movement piece in the morning might train at lunch, which can then be very tempting to still have that lunch at your desk. But I would really encourage, if you can still find at least that 10, 15, 20 minutes to have your lunch away from your desk, because we want to separate it. And what we also don't want to do is train the brain to think we have lunch at our desk. So on the days that you don't train, you're then getting sucked into doing that. So where possible, taking breaks is really about how you work, the cycles that you work in across the day, having that dedicated technology free time, remove the stimulants, whether it's tech, caffeine, sugar, all of the above, and also making sure that we have lunch away from our desk. We protect that time. We've earned that time. Use it as that opportunity to replenish your creativity, your productivity, and your motivation. High performers know how to sprint and rest and take regular breaks across their day. Now, the third high-performing habit is consistency with meals and sleep. Now, if you can get this piece down pat or even improved, my goodness, does it make a difference to your energy and your vitality and your focus and your recovery and your productivity. Now, when it comes to meals and snacks, what we're looking at here is consistently eating across the day. Now, to give you some time reference points, that should be between every 3 to 5 hours. If you're a more active person, we're looking at more every 3 to 4 hours. And if you're a less active person, it's more 4 to 5 hours. Now, the first piece of this is just creating that consistency. And for a lot of people, where they struggle is between lunch and dinner. If you try to go from lunch to dinner, you're generally dipping into like 6 or 7 hours. And while you might think, oh, that's fine, I can do that, I get to lunch, I want to challenge you and say, yeah, but do you get to dinner and then have a giant dinner and then find you're craving sweets or savory foods after, and then you're into that after your meal? By encouraging you to eat every 3 to 5 hours and insert an afternoon snack that's high protein, that's got some color, it's got some plants, so it might have some fruit or vegetables attached to it, some whole grain fiber, what that does is it's circuit breaker across your day, forces you to have a little bit of a break, but it also tops you up. It also helps to stabilize your blood sugar levels, your appetite, your energy, and your focus. And what you will also find is that when you get to dinner, you might be hungry but not starving. The rate at which you eat has slowed down. The amount of food you eat is more in check with the amount of food that you're eating at lunch. And then all of a sudden, you've got this nice, more consistent looking day when it comes to your meals. Your breakfast, your lunch, your afternoon snack, your dinner, they're all about an even amount of time spread out from each other. And what do you know? When you consistently give your body meals and snacks that are well-balanced, that are high protein, whole foods focused, colors, whole grain, carbohydrates, some healthy fats, we start to feel better. Our blood sugar levels are more stable, which means our focus is more stable. Our appetite is more consistent. We're craving less. Our energy levels are more elevated and consistent, and our focus is better. The second part of this one is consistent sleep. Now, before the parents or people out there who might travel or there are factors that impact that, again, you know, my approach is what can we do slightly better? What can we look to improve? What controllable factor can we move the needle on? Now, when it comes to consistent sleep, what we're talking about here, it's not the exact same time every night. It's within a 30 to 60 minute window. So that's the first point. And yes, that also includes the weekend, which I know for a lot of people, maybe weekdays, they can have that kind of consistency. And then on the weekends, that might be thrown out. If you start to consistently sleep, go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time within 30 to 60 minutes, that is going to have such a huge impact on how your energy levels are, your vitality, your health and your well-being, both now and for future you as well. Now, I totally understand that at different ages and stages, this can be hard, But what I'm encouraging you to do is to try and standardize your sleep. Again, we're thinking about the controllable factors. So for those of you that may have young children or that you travel for work, what I would encourage you to do is to choose sleep and bed and prioritize your sleep over other behaviors, which we all tend to get caught up in. Doom scrolling, having a glass of wine and choosing another Netflix episode because you've got me time and you've had a stressful day and you want to unwind. While in the instant, that instant gratification might provide you with that stress relief, what's actually going to support your energy and your overall stress levels and your health is choosing to go to bed, choosing to have a wind down routine, which I've just given away, one of the other high performing habits I'm going to talk about, and optimizing your sleep. When you start to consistently eat and sleep, you will find that your energy, your vitality, your focus, your productivity, and your overall way of being is so much elevated. I know if you're feeling tired and stretched, it can be hard to make these changes, but what I'm not saying is to start with everything here. I'm asking you to choose one or two things to focus on over the next 4 to 6 weeks and just see. Some of these, when we change them, we feel instantaneous benefit within the next day. Some of these, we start to feel better over a week or two. Do you want your leaders or employees to have more energy, better focus, improved well-being, and enhanced performance in 2024? Well, the key lies in each person learning to master their daily non-negotiable behaviors like nutrition and sleep, and also learning to embed high-performing behaviors into their lives with ease. The good news is I offer a variety of workshops, sessions, and consultancy services drawing from a decade of experience working across multiple high-performance arenas. My approach, refined from supporting over 1,000 of the country's best athletes and special forces soldiers, combines cutting-edge nutrition, human performance, and well-being strategies that are simply unmatched. If you run a team or a business and you think I can help, let's connect on LinkedIn or feel free to schedule a 15-minute discovery call to talk about your objectives using the link in the show notes. Now, the fourth high-performing habit I want to talk about here today is find your non-negotiables. Now, this is a big one for me, personally and professionally, and this is one of the number one things that I work with my coaching clients. It's about helping them find what is essential to them to help them feel their best. It's also about finding what are the biggest needle movers in their life, and also what are the things that they enjoy and find easy to embed. So to the point of the meditation and movement, which some people might find that they're able to do that in their morning routine and ritual, for those that aren't, this is where this slots in. So whether it's one of those, whether it's both of those, but having these non-negotiable behaviors or things that you do each day and just making sure you tick them off. Now, this is really about the sweet spot in when it comes to having habits that support you, being adaptable to life's changes. You know, for those working, whether you're at home, in the office, domestically traveling, internationally traveling, not every day looks the same. But what can look the same are your non-negotiables. You working out what they are, first of all, and then next, how you put them into your routine. Now, some people might be able to navigate that on their own. I work with all of my coaching clients to figure these things out over a period of time. And then once they know what they are, it's just constantly coming back to them and then layering on top. So some common examples of what these might be for a lot of people, protein at breakfast. I will never stop preaching the power of having a high protein breakfast. 20 to 30 grams, even if we start with that amount and looking at all our different options, whether that's eggs, smoked salmon, soy milk, cow's-based milk, plant-based protein, whey protein, whatever it might be, looking at what you're currently having and looking at what you can add. For those of you that don't technically have breakfast, maybe you have more like a brunch, it's a little bit later, same rule applies. Maybe I should actually stop calling it high-protein breakfast and it should be high-protein first meal of the day. Whoever it is, That is how I want you to start your day, as well as balancing it out with all the elements, the colors, the whole grain, carbohydrates, and the fats. But that first meal, when we can have that 20 to 30 grams of protein, sets our appetite, sets our blood sugar levels up, and sets our energy levels up for the day. It is one of the biggest game changers that you can make. Some of the others might be focusing on hydration, getting 2 to 3 liters per day, some water, some with electrolytes. For others, it might be making sure every meal and snack has some color. For others, it might be making sure that they're getting at least 8,000 to 10,000 steps per day. Now, for some of you, that might sound like a lot, and for others, that might not be much at all. So again, that's just depending on the person, and it's looking at ways, looking at what strategy is going to work for them. For other people, it's the brain breaks, or it's the meditation, or it's that movement piece. What are we doing? How are we moving today? Is it a high output day? Is it a resistance day? Is it a recovery day? What are we doing? So when it comes to having non-negotiables, these are totally tailored and customized to your life. Yes, there are definitely the pillars, nutrition, sleep, movement, mindset, which speak to everyone, but everyone is starting at a different point. That's why I created the High Performance Profile Quiz. So you can take that quiz and work out, are you the overachiever, the all or nothing human, or the ticking time bomb? And then based on where you're starting, that's a really good indication about what level we can start to insert some of these non-negotiable behaviors. Are you nailing the foundations and you're ready to go to a mastery level? Or do we need to really just go back to basics and really start to embed supportive day-to-day behaviors that are really the big needle movers and teach you how to eat and sleep as well as move and recover to help you perform at your best? Now, the fifth high-performing habit is to take the approach of progress over perfection. Now, one thing I see with a lot of my high achieving clients is that they have a tendency to have that all or nothing approach, which has served them in certain areas of their life. But when it comes to high performing habits, optimizing your health, optimizing your performance, whether we're talking physically in training, whether we're talking cognitively in our output at work, it's really important that when we take a progress over perfection approach, that what it isn't about is having strict, unrealistic, unenjoyable expectations or the I'll start Monday mantra. It is totally okay to have hiccups and setbacks. One missed session or one piece of cake at the office doesn't mean you're back to square one. The important thing is that you recalibrate and you keep going at that next meal or that next day. One of the most detrimental things to embedding better behaviors and habits is the expectation of perfection that so many high achieving humans have. And in this space, I've really seen it all. I've seen elite athletes who weigh themselves multiple times per day to determine what they eat. I've seen CEOs who have ordered Uber Eats for the last 3 to 6 months, basically for every meal, to then decide they're putting themselves on a 1500 calorie diet of chicken and broccoli and all the unenjoyable, unflavored foods, to find out after 2 weeks when their willpower fades and their taste buds take over that they're back to where they started. In 2024, it is not about the extremes. It is about how can we make choices that are better than our previous self. And it is also about customizing it to our life. It's about what strategies are going to work for you. What goals do you have, and aligning those strategies with your individual goals. And now the sixth high performing habit, which I gave away before, is to have a wind down routine. Now, in the context of this, I am talking about a sleep routine, but it can definitely also apply to when we end our day, particularly for those of you who work at home, which I do most of the time, to separate working and living. What can you do to separate that? But maybe we'll dive into that in more detail in another episode. Today, I'm really specifically talking about a sleep routine. Now, if we think about a plane when it's taking off, we don't just get on the plane and off we go. We prepare to take off. There are a number of systems and procedures that have to happen every single time to make sure the plane is ready to go. The plane then flies, and then similarly at the other end, it prepares to land. Another analogy here is an athlete. They don't just take to the field and train or play a game. They warm up for an extended period of time. They then get into the session or the game, and then afterwards they cool down. Your brain is the exact same. Your brain needs the same approach to start and end the day, which is why in this episode, I wanted to cover off routines and rituals at the start of the day, but also I really want to drive home that we all need to have a wind down routine. Now, one of the most common things when clients work with me, no matter if they're elite athletes, CEOs, directors, any other high achieving human, often they'll say, I sleep pretty well. That's fine. We don't really need to do much there. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. And then a few weeks or a few months into working together, once we've added in a few different strategies around like protein pulsing, consistency with meals, a wind down routine, maybe looking at some strategic supplements before they go to bed to help them sleep, my goodness, I'm sleeping so much better. And the thing I want to challenge you or leave you with here today is, whether it's sleep, whether it's energy, whether it's your nutrition, you only know what you know. And while what you might be doing at the moment is fine good enough? And the other thing is, if you've never felt this next level that exists, whether that's more energy or more consistent energy or better sleep or enhanced recovery, you don't know what that feels like. But I want to promise you that for every single person listening here, I can guarantee there is at least one high-performing habit here that you can optimize, even if you're really dialed in, even if you love this stuff, you listen to the podcast, you've got your support team around you. I have never met anyone and sat down and gone, oh, you're totally sweet. There's nothing we can improve. There is always something. And I truly believe that 99.9% of people on this planet don't understand how much better they can feel every day. And as I said, for some, that might be more energy. For some, that might be more consistent energy. For others, it might be reducing the level of tiredness. For others, it might be more consistent appetite and less sugar cravings and less bouncing around and riding the energy roller coaster. It's a little bit different for everyone, but applying some or all of these high-performing habits eventually into your life will help with that. Now, I went on a bit of a tangent there, but the point I wanted to make with this high-performing habit is, if I even had to pick one of everything I've spoken about here today to optimize, it would be this one. Now, the reason for that is I truly believe that the best determinant of having a good day is having a good night's sleep. And the number one inhibitor of having a good night's sleep is the ability to switch off our thoughts. So if we approach going to sleep the same as landing a plane, we start to implement our landing strategy. Or for us, we start to implement our landing strategy, which for us is our wind down routine. If you take the time to wind down and you create a supportive environment and you teach your brain that you are getting ready for bed, it starts to know that this is what you do. Now, a wind down routine can really look different for everyone. For me, what it looks like is switching the TV off 30 to 60 minutes before I go to bed. I've also recently introduced a magnesium drink, which I'm having most nights, which I'm really enjoying, and I'm seeing benefits on my Aura ring. Well before that, though, I'm dimming the lights in the room. So 1 to 2 hours before I go to bed, I'm really dimming the lights. I also, once I've turned the TV off, I have a warm shower. When I get into bed, I then journal. Now, this has changed a little bit for me. At the moment, I'm journaling 3 wins from the day and 3 wins I want to have tomorrow. And often I'll also journal 3 things I'm grateful for, which will often weave in with the 3 wins from the day or the 3 wins I want to have tomorrow. Personally, I just used to journal about 3 things I'm grateful for, which that's amazing if you're doing that. But what I've found to really work for me is to start thinking about the 3 wins from the day and the 3 wins I want to have from tomorrow. Now, I've listened and read a few books from Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. One is The Gap and the Gain, and the second is 10 times is easier than 2 times. And that's a technique that they've spoken about there. I've been doing this for a few months now, and I've found it really valuable for myself. But again, this is where it's what works for you. The other thing that I'll sometimes do before going to sleep, and this is, I tend to only do this one when I'm struggling to sleep, you know, maybe the thoughts are racing, there's more things I need to do, is I'll read a book. Look, for other people, you don't have to do all of that. It might be a couple of things. You might prefer to read, or you might prefer to listen to a meditation at night or some white noise. Play around with it. Figure out some things that work for you. But the most important thing I would encourage you to do is start to have a consistent wind down routine. Play around with it. Have something that your brain starts to know that this is what I do before I go to bed. That will help to silence and switch off those thoughts and anything racing around. Have a notebook next to you, journal it, get it out, and start to train your brain to get ready to sleep. So to recap today's episode, the 6 high-performing habits I wanted to leave you all to reflect on and to choose one or two to optimize over the next 4 to 6 weeks while I take a little break is, 1, have a routine or ritual to start the day. 2, to take regular breaks across the day, which means stimulant and technology free, and to figure out what that rhythm is for you and to have lunch away from your desk. 3rd was consistency with meals and sleep. Now, with our meals, it's looking to eat a meal and snack every 3 to 5 hours, making sure it's balanced, high protein, whole grain, high fiber, carbohydrates, colors, healthy fats. And with our consistent sleep, looking to go to bed and wake up within 30 to 60 minutes of each other each day. 4th was to figure out our non-negotiable behaviors. And this isn't about having those set things we do in the morning or the evening. This is about having a few things that we do each day to help us be our best self. And no matter what the day looks like, we get it done. Doesn't matter where it sits in or how it slots in, but these are our individual guardrails that help us feel our best every single day. 5th was having the approach of progress over perfection. We're not being all or nothing humans, which so many high achievers gravitate towards. We're not having the I'll start Monday mantra. What we are doing is we are approaching every single day. And if we have I don't even want to call it a hiccup, because missing a session or having a piece of cake isn't a hiccup. It is life. It is things that you enjoy. You've chosen to done that. Now we just get back to regular programming. That is all it is. And the last one is to have that wind down routine. Start playing around with what works for you. We are landing the plane at the end of the day, which is your brain getting into bed, switching the thoughts off, and having a great night's sleep. Nothing will impact your energy levels and how you feel every single day, as well as your longevity, than prioritizing sleep. Now, what I would absolutely love for you all to do is to choose one or two of the high-performing habits that I've spoken about here and to work on them over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Stay at the Top will be back early to mid-April. I'd love to tell you exactly when it is, but there are a few variables at the moment, including my producer's about to have a baby, I'm in the process of training some new staff, and I'm also heading to Bali for a week for a business retreat at the end of March. Team, if you've loved season 1 of Stay at the Top, I would be so grateful for you to subscribe to make sure you don't miss when the first episode of season 2 is coming out. And in the meantime, if you'd be happy to rate and review, it really makes a difference. And I also just love reading them. Better yet, if you can share it with a friend, and even if you want to keep me updated on LinkedIn on how you're going with your high-performing habits, I would absolutely love to hear how everything is going. I'm looking forward to being back with some more amazing content to help you find sustained success and enhance longevity and continue to change the narrative and start the conversation of not only what it takes to reach the top, but how you can do it sustainably and stay there. I'll be back again in a few weeks, team. Catch you all then. Team, thank you for tuning in to another episode filled with actionable insights to not only help you reach the top, but to sustainably stay there. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to let people know by sharing the episode around and rating and reviewing the podcast on the platform that you listen to. Your support truly makes a difference. Until next time, keep staying at the top.